InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Just a reminder, want to remind folks listening out there in cyberspace, in the car, walking the dog, at the gym, or on the way to work, the toll-free number to call is 1-877-789-2539. Keep in mind, we want to hear from you if you live near a data center, if things are developing, if you've got on-the-ground knowledge of that. The toll-free number to call, that's 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Let's join Gary Cardone back again.
Yeah, so Gary, this has been a great conversation, and there was something that you were touching upon earlier, and you were saying, I've lost a lot of business deals, I've lost a lot of things just from holding positions or, you know, making these tough statements. And what I wanted to ask you on that is, what I'm seeing is there's probably a lot of other people that are in high positions of power, let's even say government.
Sure.
In which they have to take a position. And there are people that they're willing to sacrifice themselves or not willing to sacrifice themselves. Let me clarify, to actually say the right things. And so I wanted to ask you about that. Is like, is that what you're seeing? There are people, there's just a lot of yes men, aren't there? And I think especially in the government, is that correct?
I don't think it's just the government. And I wouldn't expect, middle management and government to resist, right? But it's the business people that, the leaders, the billionaires, you know, 3,000 billionaires on this planet today, 3,000 billionaires. And I wonder, hey, where are your voices? I've been fortunate to make a decent amount of money and have a really good life. I would hope that the people behind me have the same opportunity. And that you don't have to belong to a group to succeed. Like, that's not America.
Okay, hey, really, else. Really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt. You're having a bit of an audio quality issue.
I think you switched your
setting audio. Must have gotten switched.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
But you're making this key point. I'll talk for a little bit, give you a little bit of buffer time. The thing that Gary's talking about here is the people that have a lot of voice, that have a lot of impact in the private sector, we're not seeing a lot of them, are we, Tim? We're seeing kind of radio silence on all these issues.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of radio silence, and it's that investment behind the scenes, the guy who has the real power, the guy who holds – Whoever has the money holds the power.
Yes.
Money is what moves the world. That is the social currency. That is the real currency that makes decisions. And so if somebody's not happy with a narrative that is being pushed, they have the ability to say, hey, well, you need to change that, or you need to go along with this process.
And finance and industry and business, all these things are really global markets. So if you're an American, but you're involved in these global markets and the global markets are getting impacted, if you're an American, you're hiding behind that, it's time for you to come out and speak up. Maybe you're going to find a way around it, whatever, but the average people, the ordinary people on the ground aren't. And Gary talked about this a little bit earlier. He's wearing the T-shirt for peace, right? And I just think being anti-war, being pro-humanity in all respects, being anti-death, that's such a core human message. And if someone like Zuckerberg, the lizard man, if he wants to not look like a lizard, the idea is not to go do jujitsu and become tough. The idea is to say, hey, we want to end the wars. We want to help people. Why aren't people like that, you know, getting the free, infinitely free political capital off of, you know, just having human positions?
Well, yeah. And then also, well, here's the thing. You had the richest man in the world, Elon, try to help humanity, not just by saving X, but also all the things he was trying to do with Doge. One thing that was profound to me was, if the richest man in the world doesn't have the ability to drain the swamp and change the systems, even though he has the ultimate amount of power when it comes to monetary, then then who can switch it, right? Is it require a conglomerate of like the richest people in the world getting together to battle the George Soroses that just want pure chaos?
That's an excellent question to ask him. Let's see how his audio quality is. Gary, are you with us right now?
Problem is here.
Okay, now we can hear you pretty good. It was a little choppy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it should be good enough, guys. Is his audio good enough?
You're doing awesome. Continue on your point.
Yeah, sorry, so continue on your point. We just want to give you some time to figure things out.
Yeah, look, I just think, I mean, I'm just questioning where they are. and that I'm getting phone calls and texts and, hey, you know, do you really need this heat? Look, I see us at war, and we are at war. I think we're, this is not a regional war. This is, and if it's not a regional war, what do you call 20 countries being involved in a conflict?
Right.
I call that world war.
Yes.
And I don't call it a regional little spit spat or divorce. This is the global chessboard being moved around. And this has happened for centuries. Right. And for us to not understand it's happening again on our watch. See, the part about it's happening on our watch is the important piece, because I now have, I did not expect this to be happening at my age and right. in this century on this event on this planet today, but I'm here, I'm alive, so I have to play a role here. Or I get to go hide in my little bank account and pretend like it's not happening, but I'm one of the leaders on this planet. I can't pretend like right. I don't have... You know, you're either a leader or a follower. If you're a leader, to me, you have to step up here. And I tried to step up and do some political stuff. It's not conducive to productive, creative solving of problems. It's just so messed up. I spent some time with this administration. I've never been political, and I will never, ever be political again, because I think the system is so suppressed. And so the motivations for being in politics today are the incentives are ass backwards completely. They're designed for fraud, actually. And
yes,
they're designed for the wrong thing.
No, you're 1,000% right. And the last question I wanted to ask you was, you know, it's very easy to get doomer and gloomer on these things. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel, any kind of like white pill perspective in which there might be some hope for the average person? Are things going to change? Are there people working in the background to change these things around, or are we just consumed by the monster at this point?
Today, we have more freedom today than we have had in centuries. Mm-hmm. And I think if we look back, this never works by the bully. Okay, the bully and the draconian group, they may stay in play here and eke out an existence. But with all this technology, okay, this is why I go into these spaces. People go, hey, why do you spend time on these? This is a massive education opportunity for global planet. However many people there are on this planet, we're going to discover more artists, more creative people, more solutions than we have ever found in history. And not to connect all these pieces and have some of the best brains and minds in the world talking about how we prosper in the future instead of fighting with each other. I think we have plenty of resources on this planet.
Right.
Like, I have been in energy longer than most people, and I do not see a shortage of energy, not anywhere. Okay. Now, the funding to build the capital to all those places, and some of this energy may not be in the most perfect position, but maybe the population of those people aren't in the best position. There's been migration for centuries where people follow the resources. And I, for the first time in my life, am seriously looking at, hey, what do I need to do to go to another location that provides me and my family more security and an easier way of life? So for the first time, I am now thinking about moving out of America. I've lived outside the country before.
Wow.
Because it's becoming a very expensive. Now, I love America, don't get me wrong, but I'm beginning to look for some secondary options. I think that's going to be a huge business for people just sure. looking at, like, wow, there's going to be a lot of people re-looking at their position in Dubai now.
People looking for growth, people looking for places that are expanding markets. And I think that's a key thing for yourself as an entrepreneur, for us as entrepreneurs. We're both small business owners as well. We look at the situation, costs just climb like crazy every 5 seconds. And these other places actually want you to do business. I want to touch on one more thing before we wrap here. This is a network show. Really appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you on the Gray Area. I want to ask you about this because you mentioned it briefly earlier. Of course, you're wearing the peace shirt, right? You're wearing the anti-war pro-peace shirt. And people can say, oh, well, that's a simple message. You're anti-war. It's a simple message, and it's a very, very powerful one. And it's essential.
Peace.
It's essential for humanity.
Go ahead. Yeah, but let's make it positive, though. Let's be pro-peace. It doesn't have to be anti-war. That's a negative. I am pro-peace, dude. I have no conflicts with any religion whatsoever.
Yes.
Do not attempt to suppress me.
Yes.
If I do not believe in you and your religion, dude, move on. Okay. I'm not going to badmouth you. You can believe in anything you want, but don't fuck with me. Okay. And that's why I love Bitcoin. I mean, we have market that's just crazy right now. Every price has changed, and Bitcoin is sitting there, a very tiny little market, $1.2 trillion. And it is just holding firm there. And I'm going to just make a prediction on your show that in the next 12 to 18 months, you're going to see Bitcoin. This is not the prediction you think I'm going to say. You're going to see Bitcoin either perform or not perform exceptionally well. If it does not perform exceptionally well in the next 12 to 18 months, it was built for this exact event.
Right.
Okay, exact event. This is why I invested in this in 2020 in a big, big way. I feel extremely comfortable going to bed every night, contrary to, I think, a lot of my buddies, with the world and the conflicts going on with my portfolio of Bitcoin. It is the only asset I have that I feel comfortable with.
Yes. We're all super bullish on Bitcoin. We really appreciate you taking the time and spending this time with us here today. Sorry for the shortness. We know you had 90 minutes budgeted out for us. We hope to have you on the Gray Area soon. You're incredible. Thank you so much. Gary Cardone, ladies and gentlemen.
Where can they find you? What are you doing out there? I think X is your main platform, right?
Yeah, X is the only platform I'm allowed on anymore, pretty much. So
beautiful.
Where I get any.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate you very much. Appreciate what you're doing.
We'll definitely connect with you after the show and try to get you on the Gray Area.
Give him a follow.
Give him a follow. We also want to have a longer conversation with you outside of the show. So that would be great. Appreciate you, Gary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we love having the opportunity to be on the network and show people like this to a wider audience and have these conversations and make things go around, because it's what people want to see in the morning fast, hard-hitting news. But we do a show Thursday and Sunday called The Gray Area. That's a 2 to 3 hour show. And on Sunday, it's always a 3+ hour show where we have a guest, we have a deep dive, and sometimes we take calls.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that if you guys want to continue to hear us outside of the show, if you like the information that we're giving, this is kind of like our bread and butter.
The place to go.
Yeah, it's the place to go. Also, give me a follow on
Truism Tim.
Truism Tim. I'm right there. I'm linked in the bio. But, you know, we also want to hear from you guys.
Yes,
so
we do.
Let's we got some callers calls here, and we asked specifically about for people who are existing near these data centers. Let's see. Who do we got
let's
here?
Talk to – ooh, let's see. Okay. Let's talk to Alex in Michigan, University of Michigan Building AI Data Center. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Good to talk to you again.
Yep. So what's going on?
The University of Michigan, they're asking taxpayers for billions and billions of dollars to build this AI supercomputer data center in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Wow.
And actually Ypsilanti, which is right next to Ann Arbor. But yeah, so if you look at the history of the University of Michigan, it was actually set up by the Vatican and these Catholics and Jesuits. So it's another Jesuit institution trying to destroy our once great Protestant Republic.
Okay. All right. We appreciate it. Thank you for the comment. Let's go to Tommy in North Carolina. Has new data center being built next to his house. Talk about that. What's that like for you to have your coffee, to get out in the morning and to see the data center?
Well, it's about 2 miles from my house, but it was a farm. It was a family farm. I don't know how many generations deep it was, but when the grandkids got it, kind of like the Oliver Northstone went, you know, they got the land and they sold it immediately.
Yep.
And they did not give people in the community really, they gave us a chance to speak. I went and spoke on it, but as soon as their representative stood up, the first words out of her mouth was, our investors have $7 or $9 trillion, and you know the dollar signs came up, and so we were just pretty much just buried in
you're blindsided
a bunch of crap from that land. Yeah, and you know, I brought up the aspect of where's the security at for all this. Like they gave us this whole, there's 300 acres they're taking over, and they gave us all this great thing about subsidies and all this, but they never once talked about security. And in the same time, they were talking about how this is about national security. You know, we got to be top of the game for all the new technology coming out. So we need these data centers. And I was like, well, who's going to secure this stuff? You know, we got people all over this country. We don't know who they are. We know there's terrorists here. They're building now, these data centers up with thousands of gallons of diesel fuel and all this. Who's going to watch this stuff?
They are primed for an attack. I think that's an excellent point to make. Yeah. Tim, your thoughts.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, I mean, they hold these town halls. I presume that's what you were talking about, where they were like, hey, this new data center is getting propped up here. You have an opportunity to speak. But what it sounds like is you spoke. They didn't really care. All they saw was dollar signs. And I think this is the bigger issue here is the money speaks more than what they care about, the impact to the people that live in that region. I really hope, Tommy, that you don't have to go through any type of misery from, you know, this data center issues, because it is affecting America's on a day-to-day.
Is it affecting your water, your power, or anything like that? You see any bills go up or quality go down?
They haven't started building it just yet. They've got they're doing all the rigmarole to get everything passed through. They are starting to clear the land, though. I have noticed that. They are starting to cut all the trees down.
How big of a facility are we talking?
One thing I did notice, because I went and spoke at a lot of the town stuff when they were trying to remove the statues. And a lot of the people from the town, from the area, that came out and spoke against it and was all for the Black Lives Matter and for this, that, and the third, those people were the same people that came to these town halls for the data centers and spoke for the data centers.
Wow. That's a key observation.
I did notice that. Yeah, because I sat back and watched, and I don't have much of a filter. I told them they were all retarded. They weren't thinking this through. I had people giving me high fives, claps on the way out, you know, the normal thing from the normal people, you know.
But the people that are bought into the system, they probably look at you like you have three eyes, mm-hmm. and that's because they're co-opted by evil.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for the call, Tommy. Really appreciate that. Got to get through calls here. Let's go to number three. Let's go to Will in Indiana. He's got a council meeting today trying to stop a data center. Will, your thoughts?
Yes, today in central Indiana, the town of Shelbyville, they are trying to annex 429 acres into the city from the county. They've already got 112 acres to put up what they started out saying was going to be a 400 to 500 megawatt facility. Now it's going up to 900.
Wow.
And there's been a lot of resistance here. We've got several thousand in-person signatures against it. We've got 7,000 plus online signatures against it on a community that's about 20,000 people. And they postponed it a few times, trying to probably cool the air before they come out here. But,
right.
You know, a lot of people believe it's a done deal. Hopefully it's not, but they
Are there a lot of people pissed off right now in your town? Are the local people talking about it? Is it been the talk of the town?
Yes, it has been the talk of the town. They try to say there's not as much resistance than there is. And of course it's all been peaceful. We're very, you know, everyone wants everything to go as peacefully as possible. Nobody needs to get upset, you know, at this point.
Yeah, but it's like they try to build these giant tombstones around these towns to bury them under the electrical costs, under the grid cost of all of it, under the infrastructure costs. And, you know, we're all rightfully upset. You say in the town of 20,000 people, like 7,000 of them, nearly half have kind of risen up against this and have signed petitions to ban it or get it postponed or whatever. Isn't it crazy to you, Tim, and also to the caller as well, isn't it crazy that the entire popular will of the people can be against something and it's still just going to get railroaded through?
Yeah, I think there has to be some incentives or with the lobbying that's happening here. That's the only equation, because how can you with a good conscience say that you represent your town or your people,
right,
and then continue to pass these?
Absolutely.
You know, like the previous caller just talked
Absolutely.
About.
Thank you so much, Will in Indiana. Let's go to number five, another Will. This is going to be Will in northern Louisiana. Troubling new Amazon data center in Caddo Parish. Tell us about this troubling new data center.
Yeah, what's going on, Tim? Rex, my Orthodox brother. I live here in Caddo Parish, and the amount of poverty here already is crazy, and that's why it's so shocking that they're in the data center here. I'm from Texas originally and grew up in Arkansas, and I didn't realize how good I had it in Arkansas, because when I moved here 2 years ago, most of my bills doubled anyway. So energy is already really expensive here. The pay is really low here. Wow. And it's frightening that they're... I actually just found out about this like about a month ago. And I've talked to a lot of my friends in the area. None of them have even heard about this. It was great news when they built an Amazon warehouse here a couple of years ago because of the need for good jobs in this area. But I could see people just being ignorant to the effect the data center is going to have on the local economy and just think that it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. It's like, you know, you hear the word data or you hear the word Amazon or you hear the word Meta and you think that it's a good thing inherent.
Jobs.
Because it's jobs. Also, he's talking about the warehouse and the facilities, but then the data center is like a whole nother thing. And that's the whole reason why we did the deep dive, so that people know what's going on. So we appreciate the call. We've only got a little bit of more time and we've got to go to the next caller. Let's go to number 7, Kevin in Indiana. You're on the line here.
Data centers are really interesting to watch go up. And I've got a big one here in Lebanon, Indiana. And we're all waiting to see. We appreciate your coverage of all this.
Thank you.
But we don't know really what to think about all this quick movement.
What's it look like going up? How fast are they building it? How big is this place, if you had to estimate in your mind square footage-wise?
15,000. I'm sorry. I think it's 1,500 acre site.
Wow,
it's called the Indiana LEED Project, and it's a Meta Center, Meta Data, and it's big. They from my house, I'm about 4 miles away, and at night they're working 24/7, and the sky, the big glow, like there was a Super Bowl game, and they're just constantly going at it. There's about 1,000 pieces of earth moving equipment. It's big. It's going to be another Colossus.
Oh, you know what? This is the same data center that we were talking about. Yes. On the deep dive where Meta was only going to be paying 50% of the cost. Ooh. This was the thing that we were getting pissed off about.
Right.
And for you, Kevin, you and the surrounding people, because you're only 4 miles away, you might be subsidizing some of those costs without realizing it. Have you thought about that? Have people been talking about that? Has anyone in your town let you guys know or yep, made you guys aware?
Yeah, it's beginning to get like in Grapevine, Texas, or Granbury, Texas, where the people are getting, you know, saying, I'm getting sick. You know, they're doing this all the time. And, you know, just the activity is making them nervous. But when this thing comes online, what's it going to be? Is it going to be like a Frankenstein laying out there in the dirt? Is it going to be controlling who knows what? It's scary.
Well, it's the new priority. That's the problem. Is used to be the priority was the town or the city and the people that lived in it and the businesses relating to it. Even the Amazon Fulfillment Center, like you say, that's not a temporary thing where the jobs are going to go away. You need people to help with the robots and the boxes and whatnot. But with this, it's literally a tombstone. It's a tombstone type situation. This is the quote from a Lebanon resident. I feel like our home is being invaded.
Lebanon residents disputed it by light, noise, by the Meta Data Center project.
But thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for the call.
We've got to wrap up here. But again, these things are just insane. And I love to hear from the people who are actually experiencing these situations because it makes you understand and it humanizes it, right?
Well, this is why the format of what my dad called 32 years ago radio talk show on TV is so important, is because we actually hear from the people that call in and we give you a high level overview with Gary Cardone, who's involved in a lot of these high level business circles and things. And then we talk to the people on the ground, and that gives you both a microscope and a 30,000 foot view to see what's going on. Tim, that's why you do the deep dive.
That's why we all do the deep dive. And this is the whole reason why you got to understand the information, why you need to be exposed to the information, is so that you understand what you can do at the end of the day. And you should be aware that way.
Yes.
You, when they come to your town and they say, hey, you want a data center here? You say, not in my backyard. So
that's absolutely true. Knowledge is power. The pen is mightier than the sword. What do you believe? What do your loved ones believe? We believe in the truth. Infowars.com. Alex Jones coming up right now. Gray Area on X. Go ahead and follow us there. Truism Tim on X. Give him a follow as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.